Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yep.
Bars. Ain't happening.
Not today.
But we got something special for you. We got a special guest in the house.
Hey, hey.
And Mr. Chan is over here.
Yes, sir. Yes, hey. Sir.
And he's here kicking it with us for the week. You know, here to kick that good old school knowledge, take it back to the roots, back That's to right. where we came from.
That's right.
You know, once in a while, you got to take it back to the elders because if you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. So shout out to Chan.
Amen.
Hey, got my father-in-law in the building.
Once again, you already know who this is. Rich Nerd.
Chan and Flan.
Chan and Flan.
There you go.
Back for another episode. Here we go again.
I got to get closer to the mic. I sound far away.
Yeah, Jay. See, we got Flan over here. He's trying to recline in the seat. sip on his ginger beer and recline real quick. He's trying to be cool.
Rearrange some things. I gotta get involved. Alright. Feeling a little better now. Alright, so this is What is TWS Podcast? Episode whatever. I don't know where we at right now.
I don't know where we at either. I'm gonna have to count the numbers.
But yeah, this is a special episode. We got my father-in-law Chan in the building.
Amen.
Glad to have him down here for the holidays. Christmas just passed. And hey, we just, I don't know. Today we don't really have a whole lot of format. We've been having a good conversation for the last, couple hours. We figured we just keep going and let you guys hear some of it.
Yeah, we just find out what we're going to talk about. Right. That's all.
Mm-hmm. We're going to figure it out as we go.
Before we spike off, I'm going to squeeze in a real quick what you sipping.
Okay.
And what we sipping today is everything.
Everything.
Me and Chan took a few shots.
If we got a neck to the bottle, we sipping it.
For real. We took a float really quick. Some Cognac Party. Did some Douce. And we did some Conjure. Shout out Luda. Mm-hmm. And we followed it up with some rye real quick. So you know what I mean.
And just in case my lawyer or prosecutor is listening, by we, he means him and Chan.
I have been
drinking America's Cup ginger beer.
Ginger beer. And
Goslings. And it's delicious. I have not partaken in any of this Douce talk.
That's right. I'm proud of you, though. Proud of you.
I just want to make that clear, just in case the people is listening.
Jared is high and dry.
Yeah, a sober life. Yay. It's the perfect time of year to be sober. New Year's.
Yes, it is.
Yes, this is awesome.
Do you get to cheat on New Year's?
I doubt it.
Let me rephrase that. Do you get to drink on New Year's? Yes. Not cheap. When you hear this, Tammy, I recuse myself. That's not what I meant. I'm just saying we a few shots in.
Do we get the sippy sippy?
Sippy sin, sin.
Once again, in case my lawyer or prosecutor is listening, no, I have no plans of, we got some sparkling cider in the house right now for me. So I'm gonna have a toast on New Year's, but it will be sparkling apple juice, more than likely, is what it's going to be. But I'm okay with that. I'm getting, it's be 7 months in, mm-hmm. it's not a temptation for me. I had no problem being around the beer and the cognac today. It's not an issue for me. You can chill out, for real.
See, I didn't want to lock him out the room because I feel like if I lock him out the room, he's going to start barking more, scratching on my door and stuff. But Kit, no.
Bad. I'm going right in your direction.
Maybe he'll listen to me. I don't know.
So let's see. We normally do rants to start our episodes, and I don't know. I don't have a rant prepared, but I feel like if I start talking, just knowing my personality, I'm gonna get upset about something. So Christmas just passed. I did not get the Westworld box set, nor the Creed DVDs that I...
You didn't get that Creed Blu-ray?
I did not get the Creed
Blu-ray. They had it at Best Buy on sale.
Man. I made a plea for it. I hear somebody got a Google Home, but...
Man, listen. I'm happy about that Google Home.
At least somebody got what they wanted.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Did I tell you what she did give me?
What did you get?
And no diss, Tammy. No diss. It was an experience. Chan was there. I got a man crate. Have you heard about this?
Wait. What's a man crate?
It's a crate. Like it was literally a crate. It was a little box, and it came with a crowbar.
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 Man, when it comes...
Hold on. She got you... She's trying to get you ready for the zombie apocalypse?
Look. When anything comes with a crowbar, you know that's hard that's to real. Open.
It took me a good 45 minutes to get in this thing.
So what was in it?
It was a bunch of spicy stuff. It was like it was some sriracha. It was like a sriracha rub, a sriracha pepper sauce, some sriracha popcorn, some sriracha beef jerky.
So she was like Jera, like spicy. So I'm just going all in on the spicy.
But I think the hook was the crate. Like you had to literally like get in there with the crowbar and like pry this thing open.
Pry that door.
After prying that open, I would have wanted like a PS4 Pro, like working for it. I just worked for the sriracha, huh?
I'm not complaining. It was a dope game. It was very unique. I'd never seen anything like that before. And I don't know where she got the idea. She went out dope. And researched something. But it took me like 30. I was sweating by the time I got into the crate. And I was just proud I got into it.
Yeah.
That's exercise.
It was exercise.
That was work.
It was work.
Man.
He can call it whatever you want to call it. But that was work. I watched.
But low key, Rich. If Chan wasn't there, I'd have given up on that thing. Fuck this. We will find out what it is next year.
Sometime. Listen.
Because I couldn't find a hammer because I was trying to like hammer the chisel mm-hmm. in there. I had to like, you know, bang on it with my fist, and it wasn't. It was.
Yeah,
Tammy was trying to get videotape of it so mm-hmm. she could post it on YouTube. Me spending 45 minutes trying to get it in the street. But, yeah.
I mean, Christmas was okay on this side, too. Renee got me clothes. No clothes and
but you did eventually
a few more. She got me a few more clothes. So yeah. Christmas, from my side, involved me basically looking at these clothes, and then she started opening her gifts, and one by one, as she's opening her gifts, she's like opening a gift and looking at me, and then she's like, "Wait, there's another one," and then opening the gift and looking at me, and then she realizing that they keep coming. Because I went all out. So I go gift after gift after gift after gift. And as each gift came, like, it started hitting her, like, more and more. Until, like, the last couple of ones, like, she, like, just started crying. And she, like, started bawling, and she's looking at me. And then all of a sudden, she, like, she hands me her phone, and she's like, "Go ahead and order your Google Home."
There we go.
Let's so I was like, yes!
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Let's clap it up for Rich getting the Google Home.
Christmas have never really been that big to me, but I got to admit, this year, Christmas was marvelous because not with the gifts I got. The gift that I got was to spend time with my granddaughter. She is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She's excited to see Pop in real life. She's seen you once before.
Yeah.
But you know, this time they spend a lot of time on Skype,
right?
You know, playing the game. She knows he's the boo guy,
right?
he comes out of nowhere. He be hiding behind the screen and it just pop up. Boo. So she been doing the whole time he been here. Every time, boo, boo. So yeah, it's been
that's
cool.
Good. That's a real good experience for her. That's definitely something that's gonna stick with her too.
Yeah,
so she made it. And she done made a sucker out of him already. It took her longer to get him than it did her grandmother. Yeah. She had her grandmother day one.
Man, she just...
Shane was fighting it.
She made a sucker out of me.
She done made a sucker out of everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, Lisa's she's one of those special kids.
Yeah, Richmond sucking in too.
Man, listen. As soon as you see her, she's like, come on. You already know.
Put the hands up.
Yeah. Pick me up. Let's go.
Let's go.
You're automatically pulled in, but yeah, she's a beautiful child. So,
yeah, but Chan, I gotta. This is my problem with Rich. Rich is that's my brother. I love him,
mm-hmm.
but he makes it too hard on regular dudes. Like I'll be trying to come up with gifts and do something
mm-hmm.
to show my wife appreciation, but then Rich like. Buy somebody a whole studio.
I didn't mean it hard on you.
He'd be writing like 3-page poems on Facebook.
Oh, man.
I did not mean to build my fiance a home studio or that photography set or get her those backdrops with the photography equipment or the lighting equipment.
Yeah, are you hearing
or the this, DSLR camera?
Are you hearing this bullshit?
Or Shane, the
how you accidentally get somebody in the studio? I ain't mean to embarrass every other dude on the planet.
So that make everybody else gotta step their game up.
But you know what it is? I know she has her dreams and her aspirations. And I know that she has her business that she's working towards.
Yeah.
So I just figured, you know, I'm working on my own business. And I know how hard it is to be a business owner. And I'm thankful that I have a partner in Flan over here who, you know, we can absolutely bounce ideas off one another. We can bear the load, you know, together. And she doesn't have anybody. So she's sole proprietorship. You know, we have an LLC that we started. Shout out to TWS Multimedia LLC.
Yeah.
So I have a partner, and basically we can help each other out, but she's alone. So, you know, I'm like, as much as I can do to help her, you know, make her vision come true. And
you see how you're only making it worse? Like, you know, I'm trying to diss
get her business off the ground.
He's such a good dude, and he just
I'm gonna do it. That's just the person I am.
Being so even more of a good dude.
Like, you know, shout out to RG Mode. You can follow her on YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat. She's everywhere. Look it up. RG Mode.
Shout out to RG. She's there. I'm just playing, but yeah, he does make it hard on me. I don't know if Tammy and Renee can still be friends. I don't need her seeing all that.
That's
too much.
Yeah, man. This last year, just thinking about it, I did step up my gift game this last year. Once that studio got into place, and then I just got the lighting and everything, and then the Mac is all set up with the software and everything, and now she's shooting real good with the DSLR, so she's doing her backdrops and everything. It's working out, and gotta do some more work on her website. But yeah,
Tammy's doing good with the baby bag, and what else did I get her? A baby bag, and I know there was a baby bag. It was some other stuff. I mean, yeah, she's doing real good.
We're under different circumstances, though. I'm trying to help her get her business off the ground, and your whole ass, like, you're taking care of a family. So just looking at the things that you do on a regular basis for Tammy and Elise, and taking care of house and home, I'm in awe. So you're definitely setting the bar and as far as things that I want to accomplish and things that I want to be able to do once Renee and I are married. You know, you don't really see a lot of married couples where you're like, you know, they're doing it right. So you guys are a pretty good example.
But you know what? See, what I do like about what Jared does, he might not have gave her the whole business to herself thing, but you know, he say the when Elise's birthday was there, it was her birthday. He gave her a present too. Mm-hmm. That's like her birthday because it was a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, those little things mean an awful lot.
And that's what I'm saying. It's the little things that I feel like people may overlook. And people may not notice, but I definitely see what Jared does. I talk to Jared on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's off. You know, a lot of guys think, you know, that it's my baby's birthday, but they forget about the mother.
Yeah, no.
Now, if you've been in that room, and you seen what I saw, and you heard what I heard, you know, somebody put in some work on that day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Elise.
I got to admit, you was a better man than me, because you know what? When my kid was born, I never went nowhere down near south. I stayed up north where the head is. Here, squeeze the hand.
For real. I hold your hand, I give you a cup of water, but listen.
Yeah, I ain't going down that way.
They didn't give me no choice. I swear I wish I had it. I swear I could go back. And they put the sheet over it or something. They ain't give me no choice.
Yeah.
That's traumatizing. When people keep talking about us having another one, it's not the pregnancy that I'm worried about. It's not even having the two kids. Because I just feel like when you're in those situations and you have to get it done,
you
just figure out ways to get it done.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go through being in that. I don't want another labor. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I do not want to be in another hospital room.
Yeah, because she was in labor for a long
23 hours. Mm-hmm. 23 hours. We was in that hospital for 4 days. I hadn't showered or changed clothes.
That's hard, man.
And we watched the what was the Best Man Christmas?
Christmas, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
And they showed Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs having the baby, and then the next day her hair done, she got makeup on. He done changed clothes. No, he still look fresh.
That don't happen.
Yeah. Nah, it ain't real like that.
That don't happen.
Nah, that's crazy. But nah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, fellas. I try to be a better dude. Tammy brings a lot. Tammy's literally saved my life. If it wasn't for her, you know, none of this would be possible. She supports me in all of this stuff. And, you know, she's never once complained about me being away from home to record or me spending money on equipment. So, yeah, I love my wife. I can't buy her a whole studio. And
but you know what?
I don't dance and all that kind of. I don't write poems. You know what?
You will.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, you will get there.
Mm-hmm. We'll get there. Yeah, TWS Multimedia is expanding. We're going to have an accounting division.
We're growing. Listen.
Tax preparation service.
We're growing.
Event planning.
We're getting there.
We're trying to get Chan involved. We're going to get the contracting part of it going. We're going to get some home automation with home improvement. We'll come in there, set up your home automation, and build you a deck all at the same time.
From concept to creation to execution to follow through, like TWS, we're growing fast. Right. And our first episode aired, what was that, first week October?
Yeah.
And we're growing fast.
And I looked at the numbers. December has already been our best month. In terms of plays, we well exceeded our previous months. So, we are growing and people are supporting. I know I get on folks a lot about just pressing play, but there are definitely enough people pressing play that we're making moves. We're gaining momentum. So it's the season to be thankful. And
we're three months in. We're still in our infancy. We still got a lot to learn. We still got a lot to offer. We still got a lot to give. So, you know, just stick with us, folks, because we're gonna continue to grow.
Just 3 months in, and we already got heavy hitter guests like Chan on the show.
The main thing about any project is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sticking with it. Yeah, as long as you stay consistent, it's gonna grow.
I mean, we here because you know what else we gonna do on a Tuesday night?
I know a lot of things I could be doing on a Tuesday night. But hey.
You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us.
But I'm here in Austin.
So how you liking Austin so far, Chan?
Oh, man, Austin is lovely. I tell you now, man, I recommend Austin to anyone who's listening.
Man, listen. It is December 27th. I went outside today with a T-shirt and a sweater on. And it was 77 degrees. I am not complaining.
I wanted to call home and tell people, man, look, I had to put on a sweater today because it was 77 degrees.
Well, listen, I did that.
Yeah.
And boy, did they yell at me.
Because you know where I'm at, it's about 30.
30. With the wind chill, you...
probably 20.
Yeah. They hurting back home right now.
Yes, sir.
I love Austin. I'm glad to have my in-laws down here. This has been real nice. So we were talking about a few things before we came in here. On a darker note, we were mentioning so a couple of things have happened recently. The numbers from Chicago: 745 gun-related homicides this year. That's more than two bodies a day.
Yeah,
and that's crazy. I've only visited Chicago a couple of times. I always wanted to move to Chicago, but we ended up here in Austin. But I had no idea it was like that's a war zone. 745.
Yeah, that's like two and a half bodies a day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find the time?
It's crazy. It's too crazy,
I mean, like. Where are the police?
Was crazy is that was only up until like November, December, beginning of November, mid-November.
Yeah.
the year is not even over yet.
Not over yet.
But I'm saying when the bodies got up to 365, that probably a couple of months ago. Shouldn't somebody been as okay? Well, we need some more police presence around here.
Something.
Because it's crazy.
It doesn't work in Chicago. It doesn't work. That life in Chicago, and I say this all the time, life in Chicago is something totally different. It's crime everywhere. I'm from New York. I've seen my fair share of crime. Yeah. The difference is, dudes in New York that I run into, they're stealing and robbing and doing crap because it's a crime of convenience or opportunity. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you see somebody walking on a block, oh, he happens to have an iPhone, I happen to be here, whatever, so I'm going to rob him. Mm-hmm. Chicago was different. Like, it's not that much opportunity, especially for those inner city youth, especially for those dudes in the ghettos, those urban areas. There's not prevailing education. There's no jobs. There's no training and things like that. So they're literally robbing people because they're hungry, not because they're trying to eat. Because they're literally hungry and need to eat.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They're trying to live. And I've been to Chicago. I've seen it face to face. They're trying to eat. You know what I mean? They need more opportunities in these neighborhoods, and it's just not there.
So my question is, because watching this election that just went by, like, what I saw was Trump found that same demographic, but, you know, in the white communities, like in the Midwest, you know, in the center of the country, those underserved, impoverished,
and he spoke towards them.
White communities, and he's that where they lack opportunities and some of the same situations, and he spoke to them, got them behind him, and won an election. Like, what voice would be needed to speak to that community in Chicago? What voice would be needed to galvanize that community to say, hey, if you're hungry and you're underserved, who needs to come out and talk to them so that we can move them in a specific direction?
It's crazy because you got people like G Herbo, you got people like Chance, you know, going in there trying to spit knowledge and speak some jewels into them, and it's like they don't want to hear it. You know, they're so caught up with that fast-paced lifestyle. They're so caught up with the easy, you know, I'm about to go sling these drugs, I'm about to get this money, I'm going to be able to feed my family. You know, they need to be able to see that someone can prosper by taking another route. You know, we need more people from Chicago who came from that lifestyle, who came from that background, who made it out to reach back into the neighborhood and say, no.
And give back.
You know, yeah, and give back. And say, no, you can do this because guess what? I did this. You can't have a bunch of Trumps. You can't have a bunch of, and nothing against him, but you can't have a bunch of Obamas.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, Obama, he's from Chicago. You know, he's been Trumping Chicago forever. Mm-hmm. But his struggle wasn't my struggle.
Right.
And even me in my position, I came from the hoods in New York. I know where I came from. I know what I've seen. I know what I've been through. And I've been through some shit myself. But it's people that's had it much, much worse than me. You know, I had a good head on my shoulders. I had a grandmother who chose to stand me straight. You know what I mean? So I was able to stand up on my own two feet. She couldn't teach me how to be a man. But running through the streets, I knew what I wasn't going to go through. I knew the struggles that I didn't want to go through. And I was able to sort of stare myself straight and pull myself up and get educated and train myself and get a job and pull myself away from that. You know, these kids out here don't have it. Yeah. And they don't want to listen to another person like me who's saying, well, I was successful, you can be successful too.
Right.
They need people like Chance. They need people like G Herbal. They need people who are out there in the struggle saying, nah, F the BS, like, we need to find another way, and we just don't have that. There's no opportunities there.
They need someone that came from the same place that they came from to show them the way.
And they just don't matter. The people that are making it, they're like, well, I made it. Time to go. Yeah. And they're running out. You can't do that.
I've heard a lot of talk about people saying Chance possibly running for mayor. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
I haven't heard that, but I think Chance is a good dude, and I think Chance got a good head on his shoulders, and I'm in support of what Chance is doing right now. You know what I'm saying? He's doing what he has to do to take care of himself, number one. Number two, he's doing it by legal means. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And he's using a skill and an outlet that he's acquired, that he's honed, that he's crafted, and he's making a way for himself. Three, he's not selling out. He's sticking to his guns. He's doing what he has to do, and he's doing what he believes in. You know, he's still unsigned, and he's putting his music out the best way he knows how. He's owning everything, and he's taking care of and investing 100% into himself. That's a message that I can get behind. Yep. Now, how do we replicate that message? How do we echo that message through the hoods of Chicago and get more inner city youth to follow that?
That's the question, you know. I guess I never, you know, I never was. I think I, you know, the same way some people never have an opportunity, never see the opportunity to do things the right way or to do things the legal way. I think I was fortunate enough to never have the opportunity to do things the wrong way. I just never was introduced to any of it. I never was around much of it. I went to schools in some of the, you know, in the inner city, but I always went back home to the suburbs to live. Mm-hmm. My mother worked real hard to keep us, you know, away from certain things and to have us in a better place. I kind of think, you know, in the era that I grew up with the music we were listening to, mm-hmm. had I maybe been presented with opportunities or been around the people doing these kind of things, it would have been attractive enough to me, mm-hmm. and maybe I would have made some of those mistakes. Yeah, I just was lucky enough to never be presented with that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I you know, it's difficult for me to come up with a solution when I don't have the frame of reference, you know, mm-hmm. for that way of life.
See, well, you know, I'm a much older person, so when I was coming up, it was so many people that was trying to keep you on the right track. You had, and you had places when I was growing up, it was like Southeast Home, mm-hmm. and they had things you can do there to keep your mind occupied from going out to mm-hmm. do certain things and creating opportunities.
Some type of opportunity, right? Some outlet, something.
Where we could, okay, we had a boxing club, a basketball, all these mm-hmm. things, right? But as a year after, I think Marion Barry went out, because Marion Barry started the summer jobs thing. And that was an outlet, because I didn't have to worry about my mom buying my school clothes. I could mm-hmm. buy. I had the money to get my own.
Take care of yourself. Invest in yourself. Yeah.
At that time, you know, and ever since Marion Barry left out and the government then cut all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. Now kids are out there. Their kids are out there with no way of knowing anything. All mm-hmm. the only thing they know is what they see in the street, that the pimps and the drug slingers and mm-hmm. with all this money, and they want some too.
Exactly,
you know, they want that same mm-hmm. thing. You know, where and not understanding the consequences of all of that until it's too late. And once they in the system, then they okay. I'm used to this. I'm going back out there, and I'm gonna find a better way to do it. And there's no better way.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes back to conversations we had before. It falls back on education, falls back on opportunity, falls back on nature, and it falls back on nurture. You know, we had this conversation before. We mentioned on the podcast, the majority of minority and African American homes, you know, they put their kids out the house 16, 17, 18, and, you know, the kids are left to fend for themselves. They don't know what they're doing, you know, whereas white homes, Asian homes, you know, kids are staying home 23, 24, 25, you know, the lessons that they're learning, you know, they're learning how to balance a checkbook, open up checking accounts, how to improve their credit, how to properly spend money, you know, what these things are.
How to save retirement accounts.
And for what a 401k is. Yeah. Nobody ever explained to me what a 401k was. Job after job. You know how long it took me to finally figure out what a 401k was, what a Roth IRA mm-hmm. was, what a savings account. All of this stuff, like, see what I'm saying? It's not stuff that our community teaches one another. It's not stuff that we instill in one another. And it should absolutely be a part of the conversation. Yet, more and more African-American youths, especially males, were left to, and not to say, not to discount females, I say especially males, because males are the ones who are constantly looked after to uphold the household, to take care of house and home, to take care of the family, but they don't know how. We don't know how. You know, we get to the point where we're getting older in years and we finally sit back and reflect and settle down and was like, you know what? I wish I would have learned these lessons that I know now. And back then, we're having to educate ourselves.
And then there's also the point where is that most kids nowadays are was brought up by kids themselves because a lot of their mothers was 13 when they was born.
Yeah.
So they don't know anything about growing up, you know, and their fathers are disappeared. So they have to learn how to be a man, which they think is a man to go out there and
hustle up and
get whatever it is. That's being a man, but that's not being a man. Being a man, you have to have responsibilities.
It's dealing with the stuff you don't want to deal with because you have to.
Right. Right, and knowing how to deal with it, not just going, you do this, I'm gonna pull out a gun. You have to be able to communicate with people and deal with people verbally.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
But a lot of it, and I hate to do this, you know, but I guess I'm trying to take a little devil's advocate or give the other side. I get so upset because coming from my background or coming from my point of view, what I would see would be. Other kids that, you know, lived in the suburbs that had every advantage, right. That had everything going for them, but they would fall in love with the images that were being given to them through TV and music. Mm-hmm. And it was us that was doing it to ourselves. Like, we constantly, you know, publicize and make this thing look, you know, you listen to this music, you know, that we buying and we're dancing to and we're playing on the radio at 3 p.m. when kids get out of school, you know, and the messages that we're giving ourselves, you know, even if you weren't, what, like I said, that life was probably,
Kill the spider.
Oh, we got a spider break. This is Texas. Just be lucky it wasn't a scorpion.
Man.
1 second, folks.
I don't know where it went.
Okay. Now I'm scared.
Keep the shoe in there. Right,
if y'all hear anything, if y'all hear a sound that's not manly, it wasn't me. But no, you know, like I was saying, that lifestyle was attractive to me because of what I was seeing, what I was listening to, and luckily I never got presented with the opportunity to really do any of it, to really be involved in any of it. I went to school. And I came back home and worked on computers in the basement. You know, I had that outlet, and I never was presented with that other outlet. But because of the media and because of the things I was seeing, had somebody presented me with it, had I had a friend that was like, hey, let's go do this, I might have been like, yeah, that's the thing to do. Let's go do that.
And see, it's the same thing on both sides because it's always going to be that grass is greener effect. The other side is always going to be romanticized because I was one of those people who, even though my grandmother had a double bachelor's, her master's, and the rest of my family is highly educated, you know, and every opportunity they tried to present and show me, I was still in a situation where, you know, the hood was there and the hood was prevalent. Uh-huh. So I had drugs around me and I had fast talkers around me and hustlers around me and people doing all types of stuff. And I had those opportunities presented to me. So, you know, I could have gone either way. And I had friends who were standing right next to me who chose to go that route. And I happened to just choose the route that I'm on. Yeah. So, you know, it can still go both ways. And for me, in the end, what saved me was my love of myself. It's, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I can try to do this and I can take the fast way out. But guess what? I'll be in jail or you never know what could happen. I was never the type to want to sit in somebody's jail. I've always wanted to have more, have great things, have nice things, but I want to be able to accomplish those things. Right. You know, if I won $1 million right now in the lottery and I was able to go out and buy a new car, it wouldn't feel the same to me as me working and building up and being able to buy a car. Like, I just bought a new car. Yeah. I feel elated that I am in a position to where I was able to buy myself a new car. I'm able to live in a nice home. I'm able to provide for myself and for my fiance. But that did not happen overnight. I'm 33 years old. I've been struggling and fighting since I was 16 years old. I'm talking about working from the bottom, building up, falling back down, building back up, falling back down, building back up. And I know you know a lot about that because me and you have similar backgrounds flying. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of people don't have that resolve. You know, a lot of people don't believe as much in themselves.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, there are people to me that I feel are going to be successful no matter where you put them. There's just some people that are born that way that, like you said, you want more, you want certain things, you have a certain kind of drive. So you could put them in the worst position, and they're going to fight their way out. Mm-hmm. If you give them the advantages, they're going to take advantage of them. And to me, those people are going to be successful. And they still need nurturing and guidance, but not as much as those that aren't born with that drive. And if all we keep giving them are these same images and these same, you know, stereotypes of what it means to be a man, what manhood is, or what, you know, what being a black female means. If we keep feeding them these images, if they're not the type that already has that inner drive to do better on their own, and we just keep feeding them images,
they'll eat it up.
They're going to eat that up. You know, they're going to take it. And like I said, I mean, I could have been one of those had I just been in a different situation. Mm-hmm. I just been around different people. My life could have taken a completely different. Different road. I'm lucky.
Yeah, and you know, and a lot of youngins don't understand that those rap.
Let's move that mic a little bit.
Those rap songs they just songs.
They do it for entertainment.
A lot of them rappers just do that and say all that stuff so you can buy. Do you know most of them rappers done went to college?
Yeah.
They went to college to learn.
Right, so what does that say about society or our community that is more attractive? Even if you don't live that life, you can be more successful selling that life than you can selling who you actually are.
Ah, exactly.
You know, these rappers can't come out and rap about being a college educated, you know, they got to change their image into something completely opposite. To sell records.
And
so what happened when Kanye said Jesus walks?
Mm. Don't get me started on Kanye.
I'm just saying. I'm in agreement. It's like
Chicago's hurting enough. I don't want to do anymore.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you just can't change one facet. You know what I'm saying?
No,
you can't. There needs to be a complete overhaul of the system. And right now we're spiraling so far out of control that it's like people are scared. People are scared to make any more changes because it's going to make things worse. But things are going to have to get worse before they get any better because it's not an overnight fix. Like these kids, I get emotional talking about it sometimes because you look out in the streets and see what's happening. Like I said in other episodes, like I've been in Chicago and I've driven through Chicago, rented cars and rode around, and I've been in the good areas. But then, you know, just for kicks, you know, Renee took me on a bus and we rode through the bad areas. So I've been all over the place and I've literally watched people getting robbed on the corner. I've literally seen people with handguns and shit. You know what I'm saying? I've seen close up people getting mugged and robbed broad daylight, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, while people stood next to him. And just off GP, just because the dude was like, you know what? I don't got nothing else to do. I need to eat. I got to provide for my family or do whatever. That doesn't make it okay. But at the same time, you know, there needs to be opportunity there. You got people out here working 40 plus, 50 plus hours a week and still can't pay rent and still can't buy groceries, trying to make life decisions. Am I going to buy a loaf of bread or am I going to put gas in my car? Mm-hmm. When you put people in those type of situations, they're going to do some desperate type of shit.
Yeah.
I said, luckily, we're some of those people where, thank God, by the grace of God, by our parents, by those people who believed in us and by the positive choices we made, we're in a position to where we don't have to make those choices. You know, but not everybody like us has those good head on their shoulders. And I wish I had the answers to say this is what needs to be done. But damn, I wish like we need to do something.
Yeah, we got to do something. Because the other thing we were talking about before we came in here, and this is what really scares me. And I've been trying to warn people about this for a while, is that we saw that video of the Black Panther march in Milwaukee. And these dudes were armed, and we're at this point where America
assault weapons,
and they're well within their rights, and I understand exactly how they feel. And this is what I'm trying to say to a white America, or to the police, or to the government, is that you need to be afraid of pushing a people so far that they feel like their lives don't matter. They feel like to you their lives don't matter. That the law doesn't work for them, then they have to find a way to work outside of it. And you're pushing people to the point where they're not going to give a damn about law anymore, or lawless, mm-hmm. or lawfulness. They're going to do what they feel they have to do. Yeah, still recording that. Mm-hmm. It's just not moving. My bad. Mm-hmm. They're going to do what they feel they have to do to protect themselves, protect their family, to protect their community. And you're pushing people to the point that they're no longer confident in working within the system to fix it. They're going to they're going to challenge the system. They're going to buck the system, and they're getting organized, you know. And it's, you've got to change something. And I think, you know, the more than anything, what a lot of people need right now is an acknowledgement that mm-hmm. that this is going to stop treating it like it's not
stop
happening.
Stop pushing it under the rug. Stop telling people that they treat people like they're crazy, like
right.
they're not recognizing what's going on. That makes it even worse. Don't right. belittle me.
Don't stop telling me when I say Black Lives Matter, say yes they do. Don't say white lives. I'm not saying white lives don't matter. Mm-hmm. I'm saying Black Lives Matter because it don't seem like you remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the simple fact they say, oh, white lives matter too, but they're not the ones that's under the gun.
Under attack.
Mm-hmm. When police pull one of them over, first thing goes, oh, how you doing, man? Can I see your ID? They coming to them politely. But let a black person, they pull a black person on, first thing they doing is putting their hand on the gun and saying, let me see your hands. Yeah.
See that video the other day with that
tied his tie.
Yeah, white kid speeding through the neighborhood, breaking all types of laws, whatever, blah 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 blah. Cop finally pulls him over, comes up to the car, looks like turns out it's a white kid or whatever.
Trying to make it to a presentation in time.
What does he do? The cop tells the kid to get out the car, helps the kid to tie his necktie, helps him fix his suit and all of that mm-hmm. shit. Man, nothing against people, and I'm. That would have never been me. That would have never been me. Never been anybody I know. He would have approached the car with his hand on his gun.
Mm-hmm. Or you would have been so afraid to have a conversation with the police that regardless of the fact that you were running late, you would have not sped
because
you didn't want to. You didn't want to race.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm always the latter. You know, I see the cops. I'm in line.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking nothing. If I gotta go slow and piss off the driver behind me, fine. But the point is, we shouldn't have to always make that concession to bend over backwards make everyone else feel good because we're scared of displeasing somebody, or because we're scared of breaking a law that doesn't even exist. It's not even breaking a law. It's making somebody uncomfortable because we're scared that we're gonna have a backlash.
So I was watching another video on YouTube, and the guy was saying something similar. He was saying that the problem is that we're not our authentic selves, with white people, and with we change to look less threatening, so that when they see someone that isn't making that shift, they shift back into this person is a threat. If we dressed and acted and talked the way we talk normally, you know, and show them that this, we can talk like this, we can dress like this, we can walk like this, we can look like this, and we're not a threat. You know, it's like to be less threatening, we completely change ourselves. And then they learn that only the person that changes is less threatening. The other one is still a threat, you know. Like he was saying, what did he say? It's like if you saw a butterfly in your house and you saw a spider in your house, which one are you going to kill? Mm-hmm. and everybody's going to kill the spider because we associate, you know,
yeah,
something negative with that spider. Like, the world looks at mm-hmm. us as spiders.
Right.
But see, the inverse
dress up
of that.
Like, we dress up like butterflies to make people feel better. When is we, if we just acted, if we were just spiders, but didn't act threatening or weren't threatening.
I just had this conversation with Renee. The inverse of that is, you know, those butterflies that are actually butterflies. Yeah. You know, like, we had a conversation, like, I'm one of those people, like, I always speak correctly. I pronounce words properly. I like to dress with my pants on my hips. I don't sag. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just me. And she's like, she's always telling me, like, why don't you relax more? I am relaxed. Like, this is just me. This is the way I speak. This is the way I have come to be. Like, over the years, after between school and work and everything else, this is how I feel my most comfortable.
Yeah.
This is not me putting on a facade. I'm kicking back right now, enjoying myself, having drinks with my friends and family. Right. And this is still very much the same vernacular and language that I'm using. These are my same mannerisms. This is who I am.
Yeah.
So what happens to those people? Because those people, like me, I get labeled like I'm being an Uncle Tom, and, you know, I'm being fake and phony and all of that stuff. But this is how I feel comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, these are all good questions.
Yeah, so you're not an Uncle Tom. If that's you, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Me, you know, I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes my wife called me Mr. Brown, because a lot of times I mispronunciate
mm-hmm.
things and change people's names. Mm-hmm. His name might be Tom. I might call him Hong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, oh, you Mr. Brown. You know what I'm saying? But that's me. That's me. I've never changed. I've always mm-hmm. been the same. And when I get around white people, I might try to clean up my words and speak properly, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But hey.
Exactly. So yeah. I said that to speak towards Jared's point. Just like you said, like, you might try to switch up a little
right.
bit to in order to fit in, because we yeah. know why you want to fit in.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not switching up. I'm acting the same way.
Yeah.
Though they look at it as me fitting more in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. this is the way I am normally. However, my folk or black folk will look at it as, you know, saying I'm being Uncle Tom or something like that.
Yeah. But understand that. A lot of times, I brought up in the ghetto, so a lot of times I speak all the slang,
mm-hmm.
do a lot of cursing, and you know me. But and even now, when I say you know what I mean, when I get around, what do you want to call corporate people, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of things mm-hmm. that I won't say because
code switching. All of that automatically switches up.
Right.
You don't even got to say it. All of that switches up. Right. Your whole vernacular, your whole being, your body language, your phrases. Everything changes.
I try to pay attention to what's coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this goes back to, like, the conversation we had when we had that get together with a bunch of the guys, and this is what I was trying to say. Like, this, so I understand, I guess, both sides of the coin. And I think what I've tried to do in a lot of situations is, you know what you have. I got to put on the butterfly costume to get in the door.
Right.
They're not going to let me in looking like a spider. Right. But I put on the butterfly costume. I get in the door. I do my job. I show them I'm a great, you know, great person, great worker, mm-hmm. nice guy to know. And then I take off the costume. And it's like, this is the real me.
Yeah, but
this
is still, forces them to associate this same person guy. With this level. Yeah,
yeah, I'm still the same guy that you knew yesterday. I just look different today.
Look different.
And are you going to now treat me different because I look different? Or are you going to say that's still Jared? That's still,
mm-hmm.
you know, you didn't know I had tattoos, or now I got tattoos. You didn't know I listened to this music, but I listened to this music. You didn't know I talked this way, but I talked this way. But I'm still the same dude who's fixed all your issues,
mm-hmm.
who's taken on every task mm-hmm. you ever gave me, you know, who produces. So now what? Do you have to now look at me and say maybe all spiders ain't bad, you know? Or
yeah.
You know, I feel like
this butterfly spider shit is fucking me up.
I feel like I do the same thing. I do the same thing. I'm absolutely myself. I get in there, but sometimes you want to pull your sleeves up. It's been days. Like, I look just like this, like how I am. This is how I dress all the time. Once in a while, though, we live in Texas. It's hot as shit.
Yeah.
You know, I go into work. I got my polo collar shirt on. I got my short sleeve. All of a sudden, somebody will say, "Oh my God, you have tattoos? I didn't know you had tattoos." Well, yeah, I have 12 tattoos. You know, and they'll look at me, and it's like all of a sudden you can see it in their face that they're immediately like judging you. But then it's like, how much can they judge you? Because your skill level hasn't changed, your outward appearance has. So now, are you going to continue to take me for, are you going to take me for face value and continue to see and appreciate the things that I have been doing? Or are you going to immediate about face?
And you know, see, I think most of that comes back to, with black people anyway, most of that goes back to the Willie Lynch syndrome.
Yeah. It's been talked.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know, you want to be, most black people want to be accepted by mm-hmm. white people because that's just how it is, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to make it right now, the way things are,
we wanna fit in.
In order to make it in this country, the way things are now, in order to make it to a certain level in this country, some white person is going to eventually have to accept you. We don't have enough presence, mm-mm. or we haven't, you know, no. we haven't asserted ourselves at certain levels to the point where you can make it purely off, you know, associating and dealing with other black people.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. like at some right. point, to reach a certain level of success, you're going to have to be accepted by white people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, I think that's the place a lot of people find themselves. You can only get so far, you know.
Then you have to put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
And the only way you can put your best foot forward to get accepted, in, if it's in the corporate world or lower, or whatever, you know, is to try to appease a white person mm-hmm. to make it to where you're trying to go.
And that's
because
that's
you're
the
not
going to
get there. Yeah.
That's the sad fact. And, yeah. that's why I think what we've talked about is even at this small level, just trying to create an infrastructure that's ours so that, you know, we can take that power back and we can say you can get here or there are opportunities and you don't have to put on this mask to get the opportunities. You can deal with people who understand who you are and who understand,
exactly.
you know,
and,
what that means.
And the sad effect is that going back to the Willie Lynch syndrome is that it's awful lot of black people that not trying to let you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah, they put on that facade. They get to where they want to go,
you.
But not if they where they want to go. They're
and
stuck.
They start looking back at that
yeah,
world.
They kicking
like,
you
hey.
Down the ladder. Mm-hmm. They kicking you down the ladder.
Or even when they get up there and they get accepted,
right.
and they look back at that world like
Man.
Something's wrong with it.
Right.
Like, you know, even though that's where I came from and that's who I
right.
really am. Because these people like me, I'd rather be like
them,
and look at you like something wrong with you.
Right.
That's the wrong mentality to have. I feel like anywhere I go in life, I take my past with me. I take my struggles with me. I take my pains with me. Because it lets me appreciate what I have so much more. It reminds me of why I grinded out and I worked so hard to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here for a reason. I'm not doing it just because. And it just reminds me of where I came from, and it makes me appreciate it so much more, and it makes me continue to want to push forward and thrive for more, and it makes me want to continue to, you know, our endeavors here at TWS Multimedia, and it makes me want to reach back even more
yeah.
and to give even more. And, you know, we don't have a lot, but if we can, you know, steer you in a right direction or a better direction, or we can give you a positive word to help you make, you know, something positive over yourself, then basically, our job is done. Like, yeah. I feel like we've accomplished something.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So just so it doesn't sound like we just saying a lot of pretty sounding things. Like, we serious about that whole the dreamers section.
Dreamers,
and,
yeah.
you know, and like you said, even if all we can do is say, yeah, you can do that, or you know, right.
Some people just need somebody to listen, hear them out, and give them a kind word, give them some encouragement.
I like that idea. Yeah, you should do that. You know, even if that's all, because we don't have, you know, we're not making no money right now. We ain't got no money. We ain't got a lot of, but we'll back you. Anything you're trying to do.
Because the first thing most you know, blacks, they first thing they gonna say, you can't do that, man. You ain't gonna be able to do that. You know
how you gonna do all that?
Yeah, you can't do that. They ain't gonna let you do that. Mm-hmm. But you know somebody got to kick the door in.
Exactly.
Hey, so seriously, if you got an idea, if you got something you want to do, and there's anything we can do that we can, even if it's just posting a blurb about you on the page or talking about you on the podcast or letting you know how we set up our podcast or anything we can do to help anybody that wants to do something, just let us know. We want
to
help.
Yeah, all we need y'all to do is just encourage the next person that's trying to do something in their life.
Pay it forward, exactly. Yeah,
give them some encouragement. Oh, man, I think you probably will be good at doing it.
Yeah. Because this thing has really been, I was talking to Chan earlier about how the whole process of doing this has made me a better person. Because one, we just woke up one day and said we're going to do it.
Yeah, we're doing it. Stop BSing, stop arguing about it, and just started
taking steps. And we bought one piece of equipment and one mic and one thing, you know. And
I've read or heard someone say, man, the first thing you need to do is to take that leap of faith.
Yeah, you got to jump.
You might come off on flying, but you got to jump first.
Yeah, I think, and that's what Steve Harvey said. You're going to fall first.
Yeah.
When you take the jump, you're not going to jump and just start flying.
Right.
You're going to start falling.
Right. You're going to fall.
And you got to have faith that
you're going to come back up.
But that's what I'm saying. Anything we can do. Like, I'm thank you, Rich, because, you know, I'm having such a good time, you know, doing this podcast and building this and just seeing, you know, that we can have an idea. And if you just decide to do it, you know, that you can do it. And we've figured things out on the fly, and we're learning as we go. But it's been dope so far. So anything we can do to help, you got an idea and you need to take that first step, or you already taking a couple steps and you need some promo or whatever, you know, we don't have a big platform, but we got a platform and it's yours.
Definitely. I feel the same. Like I said, we're trying to build it out, dream a dream. We're working on our networking page. You know, you got your own business. You're a small business owner. You're an entrepreneur. You're a hustle man, a hustle woman, whatever it is. You know, you need some advertisement. Get at us. Go to the webpage. Let us know what you want to say. You know, we'll post you on our advertisement page. We'll post you on our partners page. You know, get the word out there for you and your business. Like I said, we're trying to you know, do business with everyone. And it's not necessarily about money. We're just trying to get the message out there. You know, we're trying to get people to realize that they have other outlets, other avenues. You know, you always don't have to succumb to the dark side.
You got to be on that Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible.
Right. Try to make another Black Wall Street.
Oh, man, that's what we need. And cyborg, Kevin Hart, this man got his own sneakers.
Yeah.
This man got his own sneakers. He's advertising for Nike, doing fitness. Come on, Kevin Hart.
I need a sneaker. I think they should have a flan out there. They should have
That would be nice, though.
A jump flan.
Flan sneaker.
Flan Force One.
There you go.
I get some Air Greens, I'm going to have a heart attack.
I need a shoe. The store is coming, though. We're going to get that store up and running.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get this business account. We got to do some business stuff. Learning business, all this business,
business
stuff.
Business.
If anybody wants to give us some advice on how to establish this multimedia company. I mean, the company exists. We just got to start taking those next steps.
Like I said, we're learning day by day.
Day by day. And we got to find a lighter topic. It's been kind of heavy. What's something light? What's your New Year's plans, Rich? I know you don't have them, but I got to add. I'm just just throwing shit out there.
The missus is still trying to iron out some stuff for us all to do. I remember you said you were down, the missus was down, so we're trying to iron out something that we can do so everybody can go out, hook up, have some fun. We might stop at my place, do some little pre-gaming real quick, but we're definitely going to have something ironed out by like the next day or so, because obviously New Year's is like right there.
And I got to thank Pop-Pop and Grandma. Yeah. They're going to allow me and the missus to get out. They're going to sacrifice their New Year's Eve and hang out with Elise.
There's no sacrifice for us, I tell you.
Sorry for the humming noise. I think the person whose apartment is right next to mine, they got like a mini fridge in their back room or something like that, and the motor just kicked in. I don't know what the hell that was. It was super loud, but
yeah.
So I was reading on about podcasts. Never acknowledge it. He's like the audience probably won't catch it unless you bring it up.
Thanks for telling me after I acknowledged
it. You know, that's what I do. Captain Hindsight. You know, I'm Captain Hindsight. So let's see, what else is going on? What's new in the world of petty? So I think we talked about this last night, Shane. Like, I'm a petty person. I'm very petty. And so in the last episode, so I don't know if you were, at one point, Rich, Renee, and I did an episode where we did a list of our top five celebrity spouses. You know, if we could marry any celebrity out there, what would be the five celebrity spouses? And there are a couple of people on my list that shook Tammy up a little bit. And me being the petty person I am, I use those people any moment I can to get on her nerves. Do you have any celebrities that, you know, I don't want to get you in too much trouble, Chan, but
you ain't going to get me in no trouble.
If you could pick five celebrities, alive or dead, you know.
That I would marry?
That you would marry. So we ain't talking about celebrity jump offs or nothing like that. We're talking about, like, relationships.
Actually, I can tell you, one would probably be, what's her name that played Tina Turner?
Angela Bassett. Was she on your list?
No. Angela Bassett is kind of brawling. I'm scared. She can probably take me.
She's a little muscular for you.
Yeah, she can take me if she wants. I'm gonna let her take me.
Angela Bassett. I can see that one.
Two would probably be that's a hard one. Two would probably be my wife.
See. Oh, sucker for love.
Yeah, would probably be my wife.
Y'all both trying to make me look bad. Tammy, like, look, that's the answer you should have gave. Should have said your wife. Shout out to Tessa Thompson. Andre Day.
But, they all of them look good, but looks don't...
Yeah, if you know they probably got bad attitudes.
Yeah, that's why.
Halle Berry can't keep a man.
Right. I mean,
something wrong.
Yeah, what's his name?
Jennifer cheated Lopez on her. Can't
like, what?
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez. No,
Jennifer Lopez is the most freaking up ass person.
Yeah. So hey,
I don't know. See, nobody wants to join Team Petty with me. I'll be petty by myself. I'm good. Man, what else?
Ain't nothing wrong with petty. Could be good sometimes.
Yeah, I'm super petty. I'm petty to a detriment. I hurt myself to get back at you. Mm. Revenge by any means necessary.
Oh, that's something different now.
Yeah. See, my problem is, Shane, I got this from my mother. I have what's called a toilet paper list. Mm-hmm. I take a lot of stuff off people. I'm a turn the other cheek kind of person. I'm slow to anger. I don't like to get upset, you know, so I try not to get upset. And but it's like night and day. You can go one day where everything is cool, or you think everything is cool. You probably done a lot to me and I let it go. Mm-hmm. And then one day you do one thing too many, and then you go on my toilet paper list, which means I can wipe my ass with you. That's how I feel. I can see you in the gutter and I step over you. You know, and most people, because I'm pretty friendly, and most people, the only people that believe I have a toilet paper list are the people on the list. Because other people don't think they can do it. They don't think they can push me that far until they do. And then they realize.
Oh, no, I believe it.
And they realize, I wouldn't piss on you to put you out if you was on fire.
You much more kinder than I am. Yes, you are. Because you know what? I'm a I'm a very mellow person, and I get along with pretty much anybody until you try to threaten me.
Okay.
But me and getting threatened ain't...
They don't work.
That don't work in no kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Now you done push the button, because many times you try to threaten me, now I'm off the hook.
Yeah. All right, so we know now, do not threaten Chan. You hear that, Kit? So you might want to chill with that barking. What is he chewing something?
Yeah, he chewing something.
He tearing that porcupine hedgehog or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I only, like, I'm the type of person, okay, I'll give you a little rope.
Yeah.
I'll give you some rope, and if you take that rope, fine. But don't expect that rope to be next time, because it ain't going to happen.
I'll take a lot of stuff. I try not to get upset. I try not to let things bother me. But there comes a day where it all flips. And my mother's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's the same. I've never seen Rich mad, really. I ain't never seen
I'm another one of those people. I keep my cool. When I get mad, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit. I'm King Petty. I'm King Asshole. I'm King Dick.
So we got two King Petties.
Listen, man.
Petty and Petty.
I'm that person. I just don't get me to that level. I try to, Renee would tell you, I try to avoid getting to that level. Because once I'm there, like, it's hard to come back down. Like, once you're in that zone with a certain person, it's hard to come back down.
So what you telling me, you are Rich Petty, and you a Ryan Petty.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Listen, man. Why I always try to... You see, I'm always like super laid back, super relaxed, because I know once I get to that level, like, it's a wrap. I've done some super petty shit.
I wouldn't blame neither one of y'all, because sometimes, you know, you gotta just try to brush stuff off, right?
Yeah.
But you can only brush with so much.
Man. the problem I had is always women. I'm glad I'm married, so I don't have to really I don't deal with that no more. But it was always women who, when you that mellow and you don't show a lot of emotion. They think you don't care. So they want to push you to that point just to know that they could.
Because they want some type of reaction or some type of rise.
To find out how far they can push you before they can get a reaction.
Like, but when you get that reaction, it's going to be way more than you wanted.
I'm trying to tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've been through that one myself.
Trying to warn you. Once I get there, I don't have an off switch. I done been so mad. Tammy will tell you. I done have many times we having an argument. And I'm actually have calmed down, but I've gone so far. I'm like, I can't come back now. I can't just backtrack. I got to keep going with this.
Mm-hmm.
I done so much.
You're committed to the cause.
I'm committed. I've gone 100%.
Once you commit to the petty, it's a wrap. That's why I try not to get pulled in. I try not to go there because stop being an asshole for nothing.
All right, but I think this has been a good episode, a good conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm glad to have father-in-law here.
And I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. As usual, I want to shout out ttcharities.org. My brother Tavares Taylor has a charity organization. If you get a chance, check it out. Donate if you can. Even if you can't, just take a look at the programs that he's got going on. Maybe tell a friend. The Flint, Michigan water situation is still real. And people still don't have clean water, and I know Tavares is doing
all this time.
Yeah, they've just been swept under the rug. You don't hear about it anymore, but that's still happening. And I know Tavares has drives and things trying to get clean water to the people of Flint. So please check it out. Let's try to take care of ourselves, and let's not force people to have to go out and try to get corporate sponsorships and quote unquote sell out. Let's be our brother's keeper, take care of ourselves. So check out ttcharities.org and help out if you can. You got anything you want to end off with, Rich?
Just be an example, live life righteous, and pay it forward.
There we go. All right, Chan, you got anything you want to You want to say when we close this out?
Yeah, I just try to say, man, try to encourage everybody that you come across that's trying to do something with their life. Give them some encouragement.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you and Rich for letting me share this experience with y'all.
Oh yeah, we enjoy having you, man. We needed the elders' perspective.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, well, this has been another episode of What is TWS Podcast. We thank you for listening. And check us out. We're coming back with more.
We out.
Peace.
All right, peace.